You know what? We all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs in the world of professional wrestling.
This match is for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship!
My guest on the program today is part of Florida's Power Couple, a wrestling power couple. Along with Francisco Ciazzo, they make up the king and queen of the Southeast. Or if you go by her recent pairing with Veronica Fairchild, she could be known as one half of Makeup and Muscles. Either way, she's a rising talent on the wrestling scene and is to be taken extremely seriously on her path. Or she may just run you over. My guest is Stormy Lee. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Now that we have you on the line, we can go off into your jump into the crazy world that is pro wrestling and all that good stuff. And maybe find out a little bit more about you than you were previously willing to let fans know.
All right.
But just a little bit. First, you know, we have to address the name. Stormy Lee. Real name?
Yes.
That's something that was generated. There's a story behind it. What's the deal?
It is actually my real name. It's from birth.
Really?
I think my parents kind of had a sense of humor. They kind of knew that I was meant to do something worthwhile to have a unique name. I don't think they ever thought it was going to be professional wrestling, you know, throwing myself around in a ring. But, yep, Stormy's the first name, and then Lee is my middle name. So I'm really not very creative, so I was just like, what can I use for my wrestling name? Huh, I'll use my normal name. That's one less thing I have to think about.
Well, that's true. And I guess you can always blame your parents if they ever get on you about why you got into it. Well, you named me that, so it's a wrestling name. Why not?
Yeah, right?
Well, they have no one else to blame but themselves, so Mr. and Mrs. Sloan, there you have it.
Yes, my mom actually takes credit for it now. You know, all the things that we've been doing and, you know, actually starting to get the career moving and wrestling-wise, my mom takes credit for it now. She's like, you know, you wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't given you your name. You wouldn't be as awesome as you are. I'm like, okay, Mom, thank you, great. All right, if I ever make it huge, I'll make sure that you're on my first list to thank.
Well, you know, that's what you're supposed to do when you're a parent. You have to assume credit for it. Now, she might have tried to talk you out of it previous to that, but once the ball gets rolling, you got to get behind it. Like, you know, you wouldn't even be doing this if it weren't for me.
Yeah.
That's the way that goes. Now, where are you from originally?
I was originally born in Melbourne, Florida, over by Cocoa Beach.
Okay.
And I moved around a lot. So I kind of lived all over. I got bored real easy. Lived in South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia. So hence why it's so fitting that for the king and the queen of the Southeast, because I literally lived in pretty much every state in the Southeast throughout my life. But now we're stationed in Orlando, and that's looking like we're going to be staying for a long time.
Okay, the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, you have the moniker, the queen of the Southeast, and Mr. Ciazzo is the king. Do y'all plan on expanding that title in the future? I know you say you're pretty much stationed in Orlando, but, you know, most people want to be the king and queen of wrestling in general. Or something along those lines. So is expansion on the horizon?
It actually is. We're in all kinds of different places now. We're starting to do a few things up north. So we're hoping to expand it to king and queen of the north and the south. And then eventually just in general, king and queen, you know, the only ones you know about.
All right. Now, we have to rewind this back to the beginning. You started your venture into being a pro wrestler. How long have you been doing this so far?
I began training in January of 2012. I was kind of just thrown in by someone I had known, and sort of trained and was valeting a little bit. But it was for a lot smaller show, and I wasn't taught very well. I didn't really know very much. I was kind of just thrown in there and said, hey, here, go have a match, or, you know, learn all this by yourself. And so I got hurt and quit training for a little while. And in January of 2015, last year, I started my real training and started really learning stuff and taking stuff in with Bonnie Maxson, aka Rain from TNA. Okay. So she is currently who I train with now. So I consider my full career 2.5 years or so. But my actual training and going somewhere and moving somewhere with learning and, you know, actually expanding my repertoire and, things like that, January 2015. So about a year or a little over a year. I'm sorry.
Okay, this is the portion that you take seriously, because whomever trained you before, and I guess we won't go into that, but
yeah.
Whoever did it before apparently didn't do a justifiable job and made you feel uncomfortable getting in the ring, I'm assuming.
I got hurt a couple of times, and I took in training. I really messed up my lower back in a match one day, so I stepped back and really started to reevaluate what I was doing, and it wasn't worth me being hurt the amount that I was hurt, and then I got shown to Bonnie, and I have yet to be hurt so far.
Okay, now that you bring that up, I'm going to sidetrack just for a second, because every once in a while, you know, I'm sure you come across some people that are just getting into the wrestling industry, wanting to know proper places to go, you know, people that's not going to just take them for their money and stuff like that. First off, how important is it for you to find a proper trainer? Secondly, how important is it for you to be properly trained walking into a ring?
It is extremely important. Obviously, the business that we do, it's very real. You know, a lot of people like to say, oh, pro wrestling's fake, so on and so forth, but it's very real, and it's very easy to get injured and permanently injured, so it's extremely important to get the proper training and be trained with someone who actually cares about your well-being, cares about, you know, how you do in the business, and that you're doing things right, because I've seen, even in my short time being in the business, I've seen people, even myself, that didn't have very good training to begin with and didn't know any better. You know, no one took the time to tell them that, hey, you're not being trained properly or you're not doing this properly, and they were hurt. So I got lucky enough that my injury wasn't I still have a few issues, but it wasn't a long term where I can still wrestle. But I've seen some who, you know, they get hurt and they're injured and they're out. So, you know, they spend all this money to train and they spend all this time training and perfecting what they do. Or partially, if that makes sense, through whatever training, you know, and they're hurt and they're done. And it's, you know, it's almost like it was a waste of time. So it's the most important thing you can do, you know, and the best places around are going to be ones that, you know, they're not cheap, but that's why they're not cheap, because they show you everything you need to know, and they take that extra step to make sure you're doing everything right and you're not going to get hurt and you know what you're doing. And, you know, you're especially learning how to entertain a crowd and finding out, you know, what a crowd wants and everything that has to do with that other than being injured, you know.
Okay. Now, I ask that because there have been occasions where I've come across some videos or whatnot where there have been some people who, I won't even say
videos. In some cases, some have gone online and flat out admitted that they haven't been trained. And even despite that, have gotten matches. Like, promoters have taken them, I'm going to say, solely based off of their look. When you have a promoter, and I know we're going in another path now. When you have a promoter that's willing to do that, take somebody, let's just take you for instance, he gets you and then he says, hey, I got this girl, we're going to put you in the ring tonight, and she has no experience whatsoever other than the fact that she, you know, has a nice smile or something like that. What is your impression of the promoter past that point?
That's kind of a tricky one. I'm going to try and watch what I say. That girl, you know, that was me, and I didn't know any better back then. But, you know, I was nice to promoters, and, you know, certain promoters, and they put me on shows and that I had no business being on, you know, in the very beginning. But any reputable promoter, it would not do that. Okay. You know, anyone who has the best interest for their talent at heart and the best interest for their show would never do that, because it's way too dangerous. You know, if that girl kills some, or guy kills somebody in the ring, you know, because they do something that they have no idea what they're doing, then the promoter is held responsible for that. You know, as well as the wrestler, and the other wrestler didn't know or knew and didn't know the full extent of their training. In my experience, the reputable promoters that I've seen and that I've worked with in the past year, and they would never ever put somebody in a ring that's never done anything, you know, never had training or had very little training, but they weren't ready to go or ready to have a match, or they wouldn't put their talent at risk for getting hurt.
Okay. Well, first, I do appreciate your honesty that you can at least admit that that girl was you at one point in time. But now you have moved on, and you certainly embraced the professionalism of the business. Were you always a fan of wrestling, or was this just something that kind of, you know, came to you over the course of time? Were you a fan growing up, sitting in front of the TV and all that good stuff?
I was. Since I was a little girl, my grandfather used to watch wrestling all the time, and I was so young when I watched it that I couldn't really take too much of it in, and I couldn't remember exactly what shows or what, but I remember, you know, certain performers that I loved to watch with him, and that was kind of a bonding thing for he and I. He was kind of like my best friend growing up, so anytime wrestling was on, it was our time to bond and our time to really just spend time together and enjoy something that we both liked watching. And at the time, I had no idea what it was, and as I kind of grew and we had a little bit more time to watch, and we watched a little more often when we go to a show, it really just became something that I absolutely fell in love with. I had the opportunity to valet at a show a few years back, and it was my first ever step into the actual independent wrestling scene. I didn't even know the independent wrestling scene existed. All I knew was WWE and a little bit of TNA. That's all I really knew. So I had no idea that this independent wrestling world existed. And I saw it one day. A friend of mine was doing it and said, you know, hey, I've got this show. I really need someone to walk out to the ring with me. Would you be up to doing it? I was like, sure. Why not? So I go out, do my whole thing, and just see the reaction from people and the spotlight. And I was instantly hooked. I was, instead of just being a fan, I was intrigued. I wanted to do this. This is what I wanted to do with my life. I was like, this is where I belong. This is my calling. You know, I thought it was acting, or I thought it was singing, or, you know, something where I would be big, but this is actually where I want to be. So, yeah, I was a little bit of a fan, and then a little bit bigger fan, and then...
you just grew into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a nice smooth transition into it. Now, did you find it to be more difficult than you might have thought it was originally once you actually, and I'm talking about once you got to this phase of your career with the proper training and whatnot. Did you find that, this isn't a cakewalk like a lot of people assume it to be?
Yes, actually. I had a real quick slap to reality on just how difficult and how hard this business is, you know, not just the physical aspect, but everything else that comes with it. Not having the best experience beforehand and not really knowing much before, it was kind of hard, and some of the physical stuff kind of sucked, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But now that I've been getting the right training and getting the gist of things and finally starting to get it and understand it, it's extremely hard. It's way harder than I thought it would ever be. I mean, I'm in the gym every day. You know, I've got to watch what I eat all the time. You know, we stopped drinking. We stopped really going out and doing anything because you really don't have time to focus and do anything else. You have to kind of eat, sleep, and breathe this business if you want to survive and if you want to be any good at it, you know. So it was definitely a lot harder than I thought it would be, but I absolutely love it. I wouldn't change it for anything.
That's dedication. And through all of that, now as I'm talking to you right now, you sound like such a sweet young lady. But then we see you on the videos, shall we say, or sometimes in person, you can take a turn of personality. You know, this is about the nicest way I can put this. Your choice of demeanor when you're addressing the audience, do you prefer the boos, or do you like aiming for the cheers?
In all honesty, I sound really sweet, but I've really never been a huge, oh, look at me, love me type person. I mean, that's kind of what you see when I'm out there. I'm out there to do what I like to do, and I like to wrestle, and there are some girls I don't particularly care for.
Okay.
So a lot of that kind of shows. But I also know that, I'm trying to think of how to not meanly say that. I'm not as nice as I seem right now.
Okay.
I'm kind of playing it a little bit nicer for you.
Well,
but
thank you.
I know I'm good at what I do. I didn't used to think that, so I was very sweet, innocent. If you watch some of my older stuff,
yes,
I was very sweet, innocent, loving, like, oh, yay, this is great. And since I got into the real aspect of it, I kind of realized now I'm a lot better than I thought I was. So there's no need for me to try and say, oh, love me. Oh, you're the best. Thank you. You know, oh, let me smile and take pictures. You know, that's not what I'm there to do. I'm there to show that I'm the best, and I'm there to kind of entertain in a way. And, you know, these people are lucky that they get to see me when they do. So I consider it kind of a privilege for them. So I don't overexert myself in trying to be too nice to them when, you know, it's their privilege, not mine.
Oof. All right. Here we go. And I think that's the perfect line for me to open into the next thing. For those who do not know who Stormy Lee is, describe her. You already started off with it because you tell us that it's a privilege to come out and see you. So we're going to start with that. So anybody that's listening right now, it is a privilege for you to buy your ticket and go see Stormy Lee Russell. But she's going to elaborate on that to some degree, I hope. So please, go ahead.
Well, you know, there's a reason that Francisco Scouts and I are known as the King and the Queen of the Southeast. We're all but royalty. You know, we may not have been born into royalty, you know, the old-fashioned kings and queens, like 1800s type thing. But we hold ourselves to a whole nother level, higher than anybody else in this business. You know, and all, and between the talent combined between he and I, there's absolutely no reason that we aren't the royalty that we are, you know, and that we shouldn't be treated like royalty. You know, nice things and, you know, people begging for our autographs, begging to come to shows. You know, we are the show. We have a thing that's called Show in the Box. And a couple guys and myself that go and do shows together throughout the Southeast. And it's called Show in the Box because we bring the show to you. You know, your show isn't complete until one of us is there, or, you know, all three of us is there. We are what makes the show. So, to anyone who doesn't know who Stormy Lee is, they're half living under a rock, because I'm kind of hard to not know who I am. And, if you don't know who the King of the Southeast is, then you're really living under a rock, because we're one of the most dominant power couples, as you said earlier, one of the most dominant power couples in the South. We're all over the place. Tennessee, AIWF, WWN Live, we're all over. So anyone who doesn't know that and doesn't know of who I am, obviously isn't a fan of wrestling, so...
All right. Well, now, to piggyback off of that, are you officially, describe the Circle of Disrespect, and I know that's, you know, the tag team, but are you officially within that? Is it a faction, or is it simply a tag team that you kind of pair off with?
I am 100% a part of that team. It is a tag team of sorts with Francisco Chiazzo, King of the Southeast, and Simon Says, Emerald Emperor. But the action part of that is we are wrestling royalty. So you've got the Emerald Emperor, you've got the King of the Southeast, you've got the Queen of the Southeast, and wherever the Circle of Disrespect is, there's not a force that can beat us. Any woman I've taken on has paled in comparison. Any tag team that they've taken on has paled in comparison, you know. We teamed up just recently, and they took on Dark City Fight Club in USWA in Jacksonville and dominated for the tag team championship. So it's a tag team, but it's a faction-ish, I guess. It's just the top three people in the state who deserve to be anything like royalty. Well, we are royalty. Coming together in one little group.
Okay, that is quite the mouthful. So we got the Circle of Disrespect is the Show in the Box that comes to these various promotions wherever they may be. For the independents all across the country and around the world, actually, YouTube is a phenomenal tool. It is the thing that kind of makes the world a smaller place, lets everybody get to see your stuff, even when you may not have been in a promotion that had television access. As long as somebody had access to a camera and the internet, you can be seen. So, if you were going to point out matches for somebody to go and look under and see exactly what you can do, give me two or three. Of the ones that you like. Now, I've seen some from 2012. I think I saw you in a mixed tag with you and Solo Darling on opposite ends. And since you say that is a portion of your career that you weren't quite ready, we're going to push the 2012 stuff to the side. So I'm going to let you hand pick some that you like.
Let's see. One of my first matches since they restarted training I had with Santana Garrett when she had the NWA Women's Championship. That was a decent match. It was a decent showing of hands between her and I. I think her and I worked together pretty well. So that's one to watch. It was at the I Believe Dojo in Orlando, I think. The second match, I would say, would have to be with Kelly Klein from Ring of Honor. Her and I had a match in October of last year. It was a very intense match. We went out and gave each other hell. But it was definitely one of my prouder moments to stand in the ring with her and, you know, go toe-to-toe. It's definitely worth going and looking up and watching. It's definitely worth booking a rematch. I think those are probably my top two. I haven't had way too many since I have been retraining. I've got a few coming up where I've got one with Arcadian Wrestling Association against Tracy Taylor.
Okay.
That should be a showing. Oh, I'm sorry. SWA is where that one's going to be at. But that one should be one of the top matches. Tracy's an amazing talent. I think her and I are going to go at it pretty well. And in March for MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee, I'll be facing Paris Kelly. And she herself is, from what I hear, a good performer. Obviously no match with the Queen of the Southeast, but she'll probably give me to run for my money. So that'll probably, anything with me is worth watching, obviously. But
of course,
those coming up will definitely be worth keeping in tune for. And the Kelly Klein and Santana Garrett matches were definitely worth going out of your way to go and look at.
I'm glad that you pointed those out, first off. I wasn't aware that you stepped in the ring with Klein, so I'm going to have to look up that one myself. So we're going to say, for those that are listening, to recap, you versus Kelly Klein, who I believe is still undefeated in Ring of Honor. You versus Santana Garrett during her NWA World Championship reign, correct? Those are the two that you are suggesting for anybody to go look at right now. And without spoiling anything, because I haven't seen either one of these matches, if it had taken a turn for the worst, clearly that had to have been luck on the part of the other person.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, I certainly didn't want to guess on whether you won or whether you lost in these matches. I just assumed that if it went for the worst, that being if you got pinned or submitted, it had to have been luck by your opposition.
If I ever lose, which is very rarely, it's always by pure luck, because there's no outdoing me. And honestly, if we're being real about it, there's a couple times when I've been cheated. You know, I don't cheat, but there's a couple times when others may have, you know. I'm just saying, you know, if the ref doesn't see it, he can't call it, but they were there.
Okay.
You know, there's a couple times when I might give them a hug on the ropes, but I'm just giving them a hug, but, you know.
A hug on the ropes, is that what we call it now?
It is, it's a loving hug. You know, if I feel like they're just taking a really good beating from me, then I reward them with a hug, or I let the King of the Southeast reward them with a hug, or a pat on the shoulders, or, you know, a pat on the head with hair.
Hugs. These hugs don't somehow obstruct their ability to breathe, or, you know, something like that, does it?
I would never do anything to obstruct somebody's ability to breathe or perform. I don't need to do any of that. It's just a loving hug. That's just, hey, good job, sport. You're hanging in there, you know? That's all it is. It's to show the fans how sportsmanlike I am, you know? I really want to go out and have a great match and, you know, completely fair. So I'm a very loving person.
Indeed. I'm glad that we clarified that, because, you know, some people, and I'm saying some people out there, might mistake that for like a joke or, you know, something along those lines, but now that we've clarified it, it's a hug. It might be a hug an awkward position against the ropes, but it's a hug nonetheless.
Yeah, I think people who think that that's cheating, there's no cheating. If it was cheating, the referee would have called me out, obviously, and I would be disqualified. But it's not cheating, it's a hug, and the referee knows that, and I know that, and so does my opponent. They don't like to admit that because they don't like to lose. But, you know, if you're, obviously, if you're cheating, you have to be disqualified. So, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm not disqualified, there's no cheating.
Okay.
It's just one hug from person to another.
Well, we'll go to Bobby Heenan theory on that one. Cheating isn't cheating if you don't get caught. You go ahead and write that down, put that on a T-shirt. On the back, you put bragging isn't bragging if you can do it. There you go. Bam.
Correct. There we go.
So that's new stuff. Look at that. That's free merchandise material. I'm giving away that. I'm giving that up. You know.
Yeah, I'm going to go write that down and go copyright it today.
Well, I don't know if you can copyright. You might have to talk to Mr. Heenan about that one. Now that we've gone through, and you just pointed out one thing before I get back to my normal line of questioning, because I find this interesting that the young lady that you're scheduled to go against, Paris Kelly, there's a picture with her with the crown on. Now, certainly.
With the crown on.
With the crown on.
Huh.
Now, certainly that can't work. I mean, you know, you take a Google of her name, one of the images that comes up is her sitting on the turnbuckle with a little crown sitting there. Now how's that going to work? How's the queen of the Southeast going to step in? Now, I don't know what she's calling her. So that might have been just a trinket or a toy crown. She might have been pretending that day. I don't know. So you may have to talk to her about that.
You know, I go and I like to look at my opponents beforehand just to kind of see what they're all about. And I actually did not see that. But I can tell you one thing. If this Paris Kelly really thinks that she's some queen, that she can walk around, you know. I see it now. I just pulled it up. Yep. That's it. First of all, it's a dollar store crown. It's nothing like my tiara. So I don't feel like there's way too much of a threat. But if she does think she's the queen of anything, she's sadly mistaken. And there's only one queen of the Southeast. And she might have to learn that lesson the hard way. Now, I hear she's pretty decent. I hear she's good in the ring. She'll give me a good fight. But there's nobody in this region, state, country, world that comes anywhere close to the queen of the Southeast. And I think she's going to have to learn that lesson really the hard way.
Okay, so just to recap, dollar store crown. Ouch.
If you look at it, it looks like it's like plastic with like crayon jewels and like some kind of cheap Michael's cloth. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just my tiara just. That thing just pales in comparison. It's not even worth for anybody to go and take a look at, you know.
But for the sake of, you know, for the sake of this podcast, I have to, you know, tell if you want to see what my interviewee is talking about right now for her upcoming opponent, Paris Kelly, just Google Paris Kelly and click on the images. You will see her sitting on the turnbuckle in the corner of a ring with the crown on. I would not describe it quite as elaborately as Miss Queen of the Southeast is doing right now. I won't go into that. I will leave those comments between the two of them. Again, I don't know if Paris calls herself any sort of queen or princess or what have you.
God, I hope not.
Well, see, that's something that y'all going to have to straighten out. We'll have to find out. We'll have to find out is that a moniker she's taking. Otherwise, y'all may have something else on the line when you actually come into the ring with each other. It might be for royalty rights.
Huh. Or maybe, loser has to burn their crown. Mine obviously won't catch on fire, but I think an other short one will. So at least we could have a nice little bonfire, make some s'mores, you know.
Well, you need to talk to the promoter. So, promoter, if you're listening to this, I don't know, when is that match scheduled? How far away is that?
That match with her is scheduled March 12th at Mid-South Wrestling Alliance in Rockwood, Tennessee with AIWF.
Okay, so the promoter there on March 12th between Paris Kelly and Stormy Lee. You may have to add an extra stipulation there. That's all I'm saying. We'll leave it at that. May just have to be a little something put on there. So, all right. I won't agitate you with talking about inferior competition any longer. So we'll move on to your personal goals in the business, because everybody, you know, that is of any success in the pro wrestling industry is generally pretty goal-oriented. So let's talk 2016. What is ahead for you? What is it that you would like to reach? Where would you like to go?
Let's see. Well, right now we're really picking up speed with WWN Live.
Which is a great network.
What's that? I'm sorry.
No, I'll say which is a great place. It's a great network to be a part of.
Yes. Yeah, they have so many things going on, like so many different shows, you know, FIP, the women's show, Shine, Evolve, so many things going on right now. So that's really starting to take off and give us some momentum throughout the year. And as well as our Canadian Wrestling Association in Centerville, Tennessee, Murfreesboro. They kind of do a few loops, but do 3-day shows at a time, but it's mainly in Tennessee, and I think they're moving into Louisiana in May. That's taking a lot of speed, so I'm really hoping through 16 to get a lot more work through them, you know, and really build something with them and hopefully make my appearance one day on Shine someday this year. That's kind of been a big goal of mine. Ultimately, my ultimate goal at the end of it all is to make it to Japan and do a tour in Japan. I'd really, that's always been my goal since I got into business was, you know, it wasn't to get signed. It wasn't to, you know, make a ton of money. I mean, would I love it? Yes. That'd be great if I could do this for a living and, you know, get signed and headline WrestleMania and, you know, all this typical goals. Yeah. But the main goal was to be a part of Shine with WWN and go to Japan and do a tour in Japan. So I'm hoping this year is going to lead me in that direction and get me a lot closer to that goal.
Well, hopefully, you know, the Booker down in Shine, Lexi Fife, will somehow come across this and understand your desire to be a part of that promotion. And it seems like they are the most consistent promotion as far as all women are concerned. Shimmer has a broader name, but I only think they run maybe like 3 times out of a year or something like that, quarterly, something along those lines. It would be great to see you appear on either one of those promotions. Quite frankly, I think that would be a phenomenal step. They seem to have a big spotlight on them. So when you show up there, there are other eyeballs watching.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, your step so far, I'm going to rewind it because I know you have, we talked about some people that you're coming up against in the near future, Tracy Taylor being one, who is an outstanding talent, also participant at Shine. But you also had a recent tag team match, which I had the privilege of making the poster for, by the way. There's a little note by the by. Makeup and Muscles against Jessie Bell Smothers and Pandora.
Oh, yes.
Would you like to give some insight on that particular encounter?
Well, Pandora and I are no strangers in the ring. Her and I have had a few run-ins at Southern Fried Championship Wrestling in Monroe, Georgia, and at Global Championship Wrestling in Pell City. We've had a few run-ins together. And there's no question I dominate there, too. So it was really... She also has had a few run-ins with Veronica, you know, and Veronica and I, we talk every now and then, we say hi, but we really grew to realize that we have this mutual problem with Pandora, you know, that she thinks she's entitled, she was the women's champion for GCW, She really just was a lot more overrated than she should have been. You know, these rednecks in Alabama obviously didn't know what they were cheering for. So Veronica and I kind of got together and decided, you know what, we'll take care of this together. And coming from that, somehow Jesse Bell stuck her big nose into it and got involved. I'm not quite sure why. I don't think we really had a... I don't think we really invited her in on this issue. She kind of just invited herself. So we did have a tag team match against Jesse Bell and Pandora with Veronica and I. And Makeup and Muscles. And Makeup and Muscles really came from, you know, we look good, obviously, and we're the best looking women on that roster and on pretty much any roster that we're on. But we also can kick some butt and take names. So we kind of combined that and came up with Makeup and Muscles. That match was quite an interesting match. It was all I can say it was interesting. definitely gave me a run for my money, and Veronica as well. I know I taught Jesse Bell quite the lesson on, you know, who really is top dog. Her and I were in there most of the time because I've already dealt with Pandora. There was no, you know, not even worth my time anymore. but at the end of it, you know, Pandora thinks took the chief shot and grabbed me with a DDT and nearly broke my neck. So I don't really appreciate that. And her and I have some work coming up with that, but I was out for, you know, a couple months with that, or a month or a couple weeks, whatever the time period was. It was just a terrifying, a horrific experience. I was in a neck brace and thought it was awful. But the next show came back and took care of some business, and I think Pandora learned who's the boss and who's really the top dog in that company. And Jesse Bell, of course, is nowhere to be found. And some ginormous freak of nature, I think they call her America, decided that she was going to get her nose involved. So I have yet to see her since then, but we'll see where that goes. And as for Makeup and Muscles right now, we're kind of taking a cool off. Veronica just became the women's champion at GCW, so my sights are no longer set for any kind of tag team action. I'm happy for her, but obviously, being top dog in that company, there's no way I'm going to let anybody take that title, and that title's going to be mine. So Veronica's got a new target on her back, and it's not Pandora, it's not America, it's not Jesse Bell. It's me. Stormy Lee.
All right, so the championship does define the friendship, apparently, and I was going to ask, was there a future behind Makeup and Muscles, but it doesn't sound as if that is the case right now. It looks like you both have had a similar goal in mind, and she, through hook or crook, managed to get it first, and now you are also aiming for that same goal. You want that championship.
Yes. I don't only want that championship. I deserve that championship. I mean, anyone who watched the match between Jesse Bell and Pandora and I and Veronica and I, they know who really did all the work, and that would be me. So if anyone deserves that title, it's me. It's not my partner. It's not Pandora. It's nobody else but me. So as for a future with Makeup and Muscles, it later on down the road, there may be a future. You know, I may play nice for now and keep her friends close, but your enemies closer. But right now, I see her as she holds what I want and what I need.
Okay, so I'll end with this. Makeup and Muscles can exist so long as Veronica understands her place in the pecking order. Is that safe to say?
Exactly. Makeup and Muscles can go along just fine, and we can be one of the most dominant women's tag team in the country I think we both have, well, I know we both have the ability to do so, but with the understanding that I am the only women's champion. So that's all got to be mine before we can do that. And I think Veronica's going to have a little bit of a rough road trying to figure that out. But once she figures it out, we'll be good. Uh-oh. We'll be great. We can go back shopping and we'll have a great time beating up people.
Well, maybe she could just forfeit the title to you or sign it over or something like that. I don't know. I don't know the legality.
Honestly, that would be in her best interest. That would probably be her wisest choice.
That'd be the best thing to do. Okay, so let's make public announcement to Veronica Fairchild. You know, all due respect, it seems as if the Stormy is saying that the best thing for you to do right now is just avoid the confrontation, keep your friendship intact, and just hand the title over, forfeit it, if you will, to your partner so Makeup and Muscles can continue on and she can assume her spot in the rightful position, the hierarchy there, so y'all can do your thing and beat people up and shop and so on and so forth. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay. Toughest opponent. We've named several. But who, by far, in this point of your career at least, has been the toughest to date?
That is definitely Kelly Klein. She was by far the toughest I've had. She's very good at what she does. And I hate to make her sound so good. but she definitely gave me a run for my money. She's very intense. She's very strong. She's a very strong lady. You wouldn't think she had that much muscle behind her. She should be part of Makeup and Muscles. Her and I would do great. She really gave me a run for my money, and she was really, really enjoyable to be in the ring with. And, but definitely she was the hardest one that I've had so far.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a interesting answer, and particularly considering that you would slot her into Makeup and Muscles. You know, maybe it's not too late. And the original version of Makeup and Muscles seems on kind of shaky ground as it is, so, you know, who knows?
Fantasy booking.
Here's the portion of the interview when I get to fantasy booking. Fantasy booking allows you to come up with the ideal storyline, if you will, for something that you would like to do. Or, you know, just something off the top of your head, even if it's impossible. Even if the person that you know is retired, they ain't coming back, or something like that. We just want to hear what fantasy booking would Stormy Lee set for herself. So, Stormy, what is your fantasy booking?
That's really tough. There's quite a few.
Of course, it's it has to be tough.
There's quite a few. I would have to say myself versus Bonnie Raitt Maxson, my trainer. I think she's just. I've watched a lot of her old stuff, and I've trained with her for this year, and she's just amazing at what she does. She never ceases to amaze me on all the things she knows and how much she gets the business and how much knowledge she has to give. So ideally, fantasy booking would have to be against her, because I think there's just so much there to learn and so many opportunities to grow and have just an outstanding match that people would remember.
Would there be a storyline involved in this fantasy booking of yours?
Storyline? No, I mean, everything kind of goes with itself, but I don't really, you know, I don't want to. Storyline's kind of difficult to kind of really go with. I think her and I would just have a good match together without really needing anything, you know. Extra with it, just kind of a you versus me, no extra story needed, you know. Trainee versus trainer.
Well, that storyline right there, trainee versus trainer. You know, that's a different spin. It sounds better than student versus teacher. We heard that a lot. So trainee versus trainer. You know, you get too big for your boots, so to speak, and you want to challenge the trainer. See, that's your better, I guess.
Yes.
Something like that. Now, see, Mr. Green always puts in his 2 cents for the fantasy booking segment. Now, just based on this interview, I would go with, if I had the power of the pen, if I had to book, and I had it, the country at my whim to put you someplace, I would put Stormy Lee on an open challenge tour, city to city, state to state. Open contract, couple of bucks, let's just say $1,000, and a crown, a tiara. Any lady wrestler that wants to disprove her place as the rightful queen of the Southeast. With the stipulation being that if you make it through your tour successfully, you get to declare yourself as the rightful queen of wrestling. And just with that alone, I can slot in any number of top-tier talents as roadblocks to Stormy Lee. One town after another.
You know, we may have to make that one happen. I like the sound of that.
Well, I'm glad that you like it. It would take a lot to get that going. That's why that's a fantasy booking. But hearing your bravado, you know, and during the course of his interview, I particularly like the crown talk, if you will, about Paris Kelly. All due respect to her crown, you didn't find it quite as impressive as some other people may have, but that alone brought that up as a, you know, you need to prove yourself as the queen of the Southeast and just go on and declare yourself the queen of wrestling in general. And the only way you can do that is just take the tour. You need to take the tour one by one, city by city, state by state, wrestler by wrestler, and knock them off.
Well, you know, I don't have to prove anything, but, you know, I wouldn't mind making a few bucks and kicking some teeth in, you know, while touring the country. That'd be great, you know.
Well, you're right. You don't have to prove it. We need to take that away. You don't need to prove it. You want to, you know, solidify. Let's say that.
Yes. Yeah, we'll say that.
So, you know, it's one thing for you to say it, but you have to have the people, the fans, the promoters, the other, your wrestling peers, you know, to understand that you are number one and everybody else is underneath. You don't need no belt for people to understand that you are the top. So you can take that noise right over there to Veronica. She got a championship, but you can say, look, I'm still the queen. I don't need no title. I just want it. That's all.
Yeah, you're right about that.
It's time for random questions.
So there we have it. Now, you know, last segment, because we're getting through the time. Random questions. I like having random questions in there just because it keeps the
fun
going. That's right, and makes it fun for me. So, Stormy Lee, Simpsons or Family Guy?
Family Guy.
Favorite Disney movie of all time?
Oh, that's rough. I love Disney. I'm such a Disney person.
I got that impression when I saw that your response to Finding Dory. I was like, she's a Disney girl. I could tell.
Oh, I love Disney. My favorite probably... Frozen is probably my favorite.
You know, I'm gonna alter that. You answered it, but I just thought of something. I'm gonna add on to that. Just the last Disney movie that brought a tear to your eye. That's right. We gotta soften you up a little bit. I know. We're gonna soften you up just a tad.
That's a good question. Probably Up. Yeah, up with a little old man that has, like, the balloons, and he lost his wife, and he's all sad all the time and depressed, and, like, that brought a tear to my eye. It was so sad. I felt so bad. I was like, oh.
Okay. There we go. See, look, that, now people out there, fans, you know something about Summer that she probably never wanted you to know. This summer, Ghostbusters has an all-female cast. Will they be able to carry that movie?
Honestly, I've never seen the first one. I've never been a Ghostbusters fan. So I'm all about women empowerment. So, sure, if women can do anything, I don't know. If they're, I don't know who the cast is. From what I originally heard who they were, and I can't for the life of me remember it now. But from what I heard, they sounded like a good cast. So, you know, even though I don't watch the movie, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty good movie.
That's right. And for those that's listening, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones, and I can't remember the last one right now. So I'll get back to you for anybody that's listening that care. Or you can just look up the trailer. It's out now. The worst movie that you've ever seen, and why?
I've seen a lot of bad movies. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a spring break movie, and Jerry the King Lawler made a cameo in it.
Oh, my God.
And it was, it was like murders on spring break. Like, they went to Cancun, and they were being murdered by some axe guy. I don't remember exactly what it was, because it was a while back. I watched it. It was like a Netflix special. But it was probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
Was he a cop in this? Like a sheriff or something like that?
I don't know, actually. Possibly.
I saw something when he power drives something. I was like, this looks really bad. Anyway.
You know what? I think he did pile. I think that was the cameo. It was that he like power drove somebody. And it was like, how does that even make sense? Like, that doesn't, I don't get it. It was awful.
Hey, it was a paycheck too. I'm pretty sure that's why.
The sad part is he made more than every one of those actors combined in that movie for like 20 minutes.
Probably. That's terrible. Anyway, Burger King or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, all the way.
Chick-fil-A, all right. And lastly, name a guilty pleasure food of yours.
Ice cream. Very bad with like chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
Oh no.
I can't keep it in the house.
You can't keep it in the house? You're not supposed to have it at all.
I know, that's the problem. I'll have like a little pint of it, and I'll have it in the freezer, and Francisco will come home and go, what's this? I don't know where it came from. The dogs brought it home. I don't know. The cat ate it. Obviously, he doesn't believe that for a second. But he gives me a second to think of my story, you know, for why I have ice cream in the fridge.
Well, now you should just go with the story of the ice cream fairy.
I haven't tried that one yet. Maybe that one will work.
Yes, the ice cream fairy knows that your deepest desire is that you want this ice cream, and no matter how many times I throw it away, she just keeps bringing it back in. I can't help it.
Yeah, I wish she would just stop. I told her no, and she's just like, no, take it, please.
See, there you go. There's your story right there. Ice cream fairy.
Yeah, it's like my fairy godmother. You know, fairy godmother didn't listen to anything, so here's your ice cream fairy.
You know, they're just doing what they think is right. They don't mean no harm. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know what fairies' problems are. Sheesh. Sounds like Tinkerbell. Full of brat.
And we've rooted back around to Disney. See that? Perfect.
See? There we go.
So there we have it, folks. You have probably learned more about Storm Elise today within this podcast than you ever thought possible, that she's a victim of the ice cream fairy, that she stands on top of the female wrestling hierarchy, makeup and muscles. Well, they seem on rocky ground, but as long as Veronica Fairchild can kind of fall into play, they'll continue on. The starts we'll say the two-parter of her wrestling career, the original training, which not so good, and the real training, which is great. So it is quite a bit of stuff that's going on. And for those that are looking for those matches, I will link some of these onto this video so that you can see exactly what she's talking about, provided I can find them, of course, which I should be able to. And if you're listening to it on the MP3, then just find yourself back over to our YouTube channel, and you will be able to watch all that good stuff. So, Stormy, for the promoters out there, for the fans that want to follow you, for anybody that's looking to book you for a show, because we got to close on this, where can they find you?
Let's see. Fans and promoters can find me social media-wise at Facebook.com. Stormy Lee Sloan is my Facebook page. Stormy Lee is my fan page. I prefer fans to go to my Stormy Lee fan page, obviously because my Facebook page is for personal and for booking inquiries only. I have a lot of family on there, so but I'll add them either way for the most part. My Instagram is StormyLee327, and my Twitter is StormyLSloan. You can follow me. You can find me on Francisco Chiazzo's Twitter or any ACW, WWN Twitter. And show-wise, can I go into show-wise? Do we
Absolutely.
Have time for that?
Absolutely.
All right. So show-wise, they can find me this weekend with Dante's Inferno at ACW, WWN Live in Newport Richey, Florida. The 27th of February, I will be at Global Championship Wrestling in Tulsa, Alabama. That is where Makeup and Muscles originally formed and where Veronica and Fairchild and I will have our little discussion about this belt situation.
Okay.
It went past February 27th, so that already happened. I'm just kidding. we're into March. Whoops.
Hey, wrestling fans, hey, folks out there, it's tapings, okay? These things happen. If you're going to look at it, just go to a GCW YouTube channel, and you can see what she's talking about in these episodes, and if it hasn't aired yet, the upcoming episodes. So they're smart. They understand it. We're with you. Go ahead. You're good.
All right. So let me get right back to where I'm supposed to be, not February. March 12th, MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee, where I take on Paris Kelly and that cheesy crown of hers. Following that, 3/13, I'm in TWE in Gadsden, Alabama, with the King of the Southeast. We make our first debut there. 3/26, the day before my birthday, what a great way to celebrate my birthday, will be in GCW in Tulsa City, Alabama again. April 7th, 8th, and 9th, Arcadian Wrestling Association in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Fairview, Tennessee, and one other location in Tennessee. Those are amazing shows. They're going to have Road Warrior, Billy Gunn, TNA Star Bram, TNA Star Chase Stevens, a ton of people that are just really worth going out and seeing. And April 16th, USWA in Jacksonville, Florida, with Circle of Disrespect, Wrestling Royalty, myself, Francisco Chiazzo, King of the Southeast, and the Emperor Simon Says. And finally, on April 23rd, Southern Pride Championship Wrestling in Monroe, Georgia. And of course, there's dates throughout June, but I'm not going to go through every single weekend. If they want to see anytime they want to see where they can find me, they can look on my fan page or look on my Facebook or Twitter, and I've got my dates up throughout June, I believe.
All right. Well, I can't speak on the other ones, but when you're back at Southern Fried, make sure you let me know, and I will pop up there, camera in hand, so I can get Stormy Lee. I have to have at least some footage of you on the Women's Pro Wrestling Network. Cheap plug for myself. You can go to our Facebook page and follow all of this stuff. You go to the website, WPN Wrestling, and, of course, the Women's Pro Wrestling Network, YouTube. All you got to do is type in the word, and it will pop up. And we got a bunch of matches on there right now. And then, of course, it'd be our honor to have Stormy Lee on. I mean, because it just isn't complete, despite the fact that we have a gang of people on there. It's not complete until we have the Queen of the Southeast make her appearance.
Of course it's not. Nothing's complete without the Queen.
So, you know, so I just wanted to go ahead and just admit to that before you got into me about it. So, yeah, you know, it's lots of people there. Tiffany Rocks, Pandora, you know, Rock and Roll Roxy, Aja Pereira, Dimension Rose, so on and so forth. But it is just not a complete list until Stormy Lee is there. And I also want to say that I'm going to go out of my way to find this Paris Kelly and see if I can discuss with her the origins of this crown of hers.
All right, yeah, you do that, and then you just let her know that I request for her to bring that crown because it's mine. She doesn't get to wear it. I'll show her what a real crown looks like.
And there you have it. Certainly one of the more entertaining interviews that I've taken part with. Stormy, I'm just going to go on record to say, for anybody that's listening, I think you're a phenomenal talker, because if that in any way, shape, or form translates into promo ability, you're gold. So, there we have it, folks. Another podcast in the can. Be sure to check it out for future matches. Hopefully, when she shows up in April, I'll be able to grab some footage of her, but we also have the matches upcoming, one of which, Tiffany Rock, taking on the Priscilla Kelly, and I do believe there's Casey Carlisle versus Dimension Rose. Great stuff on the horizon. So for me and the Queen of the Southeast, one half of Makeup and Muscles, the top talent of women's wrestling, Stormy Lee, we want to say so long, everybody, and visit us both. We all appreciate your support. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the WPN's Rights and Wrongs of Pro Wrestling. If you have questions or comments, please contact us via our Facebook or our YouTube channel at the Women's Pro Wrestling Network. If you're new to the WPN, feel free to subscribe to our channel and like our page. We appreciate your support. Thank you again for listening.